Culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I'm sitting here today and trying to figure out whether to start with the good stuff or the bad stuff. Stuff that makes me laugh or the stuff that makes me mad. I'm trying to mess with my kid. Got a lot of good stuff. Good Monday morning to you. 25th day of October 2021. The Lord's not making another one. This is the day he's made. This one right here. It's the day he made. You're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I got a busy day. I got three different media things I have to do today. Going to have John Diamond's going to join me today on my on the Brighteon show, Brighteon.tv, 11 a.m. John stopped by yesterday. He was on his way home from somewhere down in Tennessee. He stopped by and had a good little conversation with John. I really appreciate John Diamond, a guy always doing. And John's really kind of at the heart of what's going on at Brighteon TV. And we were just sitting out on a lawn chair up at Sky High. I was doing some work up there, and he pulled in, and we're just back and forth. I said, you know, John, you got to come on my show, man, because the Brighteon folks. John has his own show on Brighteon TV, but we cross-pollinate, right? But he was talking about some stuff that was really, really kind of really blew me. You know, I was thinking about, let me throw this out there. This came to me just, this is one of those out of nowhere things. Somebody said they couldn't hear me. Spence, I don't know if somebody just said they couldn't hear me. Everybody else hear me okay? Just thumbs up me if you hear okay. Yeah, okay, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Good, thanks. I came across one of those scriptures that just, boom. Man, that is something. Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Pilate's, you know, saying, are you a king? Well, I can't exactly remember the context of it. But then Jesus says something that's really, really profound. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. I'm going to do another teaching on the kingdom, by the way. My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, he said. Can anybody answer that? My kingdom's not of this world. If it were.
My servants would fight.
That's what he said, didn't he, Randy? Think about that,
Amen.
Folks. Does that mean where his kingdom is, his servants fight? Would that be a fair connection?
Amen.
He says, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. But he didn't come to at that time, right? He came to what? Destroy the works of the devil. Remember how we connected that? For this purpose, Son of God manifests. He'd destroy the works of the devil. He came to die. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So he wasn't going to let... Remember when his old buddy pulled out the sword and cut off the guy's knife? He said, no, Pete, not that. No. This isn't the way. You're going to mess up the plan. That's what he said. He didn't say, don't fight, Pete. He said, don't fight now. You're going to mess up the plan. Right, remember, right? In fact, he healed the guy's ear so there would be no charges against him. But he very, very clearly said to Pilate, if my kingdom is of this world, there'd be a lot of fighting going on here. We wouldn't be putting up with this stuff. You say, Coach, you're twisting the script. No, I'm not. I'm not twisting the scripture any more than the pacifists. The pacifists use that same scripture and they say we're never supposed to fight. You know what another scripture they say? Oh, I wish I'd thank you. These are Holy Spirit downloads you're getting right now, okay? The same one where they ask Jesus if his people paid taxes. No, they didn't ask Jesus. They asked, was it Peter? Anybody remember who that was? Hey, does your master pay taxes? Anybody remember what Jesus said? It was Peter, I think. And what did Peter say? Sure.
No, it was Jesus.
Pardon me? Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, it was Jesus, and they...
Do you know where it is, Michelle? Is it in Luke?
Gosh, I think that story's in Matthew. I can look it up.
Look it up.
All the backstories are in Matthew.
Matthew 17:24, I believe.
Matthew 17:24. Folks, this is important for us to get, okay? Matthew. See, we can't just, if we're gonna be good Christians, we can't just
locked out. Locked up, coach.
There are no good Christians.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. Jesus taught us to pray that his kingdom come, that his will be done on earth. So we are praying for his kingdom to be here on earth.
If
where his kingdom is, if his people fight, guess what? We are warriors.
He said, if my kingdom was of this world, but they would fight for me, right?
He also said our weapons are not carnal. Well, so even if we are going to fight, how are we going to fight?
He definitely didn't say we're not going to fight. We're pacifists. We're going to lay it down. That's not what he said. I'm in math. Oh, Spencer's got it up there. Click it on for me.
We're fighting every day. This battle is every day.
Stay with me here. Stay with me in my monologue. Let me kind of run. Let me do my monologue here. The Holy Spirit's giving me a download here. And you guys need to hear this. Spencer, Matthew 17, beginning in verse 25. Thank you, Betty. I think you're the ones that Betty drove all the way down to Nashville. Betty and Rube and the dog drove all the way to Nashville. It was amazing. I walk in their meeting and there they are. Spencer, am I missing it or do we have it up there? There it is. And they, verse 23, go to verse 22. Spence, slide up a little bit. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. Why? Because it is the plan. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him. He's talking about himself. And on the third day shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. And when they went to Capernaum, when they went to Washington, D.C., the tax collectors came up to Pete and said, hey, Pete, help us out here. So you pay taxes. Hey, is he skimming off the top? Does your master pay taxes? And Peter says, well, yeah. And when he came into the house, Jesus was waiting at the door. Do you see this, folks? Jesus heard what Peter said, and he's waiting for him at the door. And he says, what's wrong with you, dude? Huh? What's wrong with you, Pete? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Or let's put the American word in there. Of whom do the kings collect taxes from? Their own children or from strangers? And Pete said, of strangers. Jesus. So Jesus said unto them, stop saying that, Pete, because our children are free. Folks, do you see this? And if anybody ever tells you that Jesus Christ told people to pay taxes, they're lying to you. Larry, am I okay on this one? Thumbs up on that one, Larry? Huh?
Now finish the story, please.
You want me to finish the story? Which story are you talking about?
This one, continue reading, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them.
Well, that's okay. And Peter said, well, strangers, just says, well, then the children are free. In other words, taxation, folks, was only on foreigners. Even in the United States of America, taxation would have been only on foreigners, on imports. Notwithstanding, so we don't make anybody mad. Why? Because this purpose came out into the world and I would destroy the works of the devil. My battle is not with Caesar and taxes, he said. So listen, you shouldn't pay taxes, is what Jesus said. But we don't want to offend them. Why don't they want to offend them, folks? Why don't they want to offend them? Because Jesus does not want to be killed by the Romans for not paying taxes. He came for a higher call. His battle is not with the Romans. He said, just to show you that I know what I'm talking about, he cast out a hook. He said, go out there and the first fish that you get, Pete, open his mouth. There'll be plenty of money in his mouth. Peter went and did it. Why? because he was not picking a bone with a gum. Anybody think I'm crazy on that one? Be a good chance to come in.
That's a temple tax story, Coach. That's about temple tax. It's not about tax as we know tax. It's a different tax for a different country for a different setup.
Yeah, because there was no income tax, right? There was no income tax. Are we supposed to have, is there a temple tax in America? No temple tax in America. Yeah, folks, this is so clear. They asked Jesus, should you pay taxes? And you know when the United States was started, there was no taxation? Did you know that? There was no income tax. Oh, I don't. Let me move on. Let me do a little bit of homework. Gary Dunlap lost his dad this weekend. Gary Dunlap did. Most of you know that Gary's been, last couple, 3 years of his life, he's dedicated his life to taking care of his father. His dad would have been 91, I think, next month. And Gary wasn't there when his father passed. His dad was in some palliative care. And Gary's like the last apple on the tree. I'm not telling stories on you. He's like the last apple on the tree. He's an only child, doesn't really have any cousins, doesn't have any aunts and uncles and relatives. He's it. So some of you may want to reach out and encourage Gary in this tough time, because he's the first time ever in his life, he is it. He is alone. And so, Gary, we encourage you, man. Pray for you. Joe Esposito is really sick. RJ, you in here? Can you give us an update real quickly? RJ, whoever did that in the pre-show about Joe and the fight he's fighting?
Yeah, I just jumped on here. I think last night, I got this from Ken Wan yesterday, and he had pulled all of his tubes out overnight the night before.
Joe pulled and all his tubes out.
Yeah. He was fighting it, and I've just been praying that, you know, his peace settles on him. Dr. Meehan's wife wrote me last night and said that his daughter has power of attorney. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. He had really low oxygen for a little while. They got him back on a full oxygen tent, but I guess he pulled everything out. We were concerned that the hospital might start trying to bring their protocol. I asked Dr. Meehan if they knew who had power of attorney. Turns out his daughter does. The key prayer I have is that we pray for Paula, Joe's daughter, that she will, get better information than just simply what the hospital provides.
We ask right now that you would stiffen Paula's spine, Lord Jesus, and that you would hear. She would hear from the throne room about what it is you would have be done for her father, Lord. We just pray a hedge of protection around Joe, and we pray that you raise him up out of that hospital bed in Jesus' name. He's getting a little bit better, RJ. Is that right? He's getting a little bit better?
I think he's stabilized, Coach. I'm going to be finding out a little bit more today. Stacy may be in here as well, and she's been in touch with Ken Wan also.
I saw something. Thanks, Joe. Let's keep praying for them. I saw something today, yesterday on the news, in the show, and I just before I went to bed last night, I was going through the obituaries. By the way, you'd be surprised how many people are dying, right? And you know what really caught my eye? You know what really, really caught my eye as I've gone through the obituaries? Because we were looking for a specific person. Actually, we were looking for Russ Dizdar's a bit. And of course, Russ, I guess they haven't done it for him yet. His wife's still in the hospital. I don't know who would write his obituary. So I was looking for Russ's, and I was going through the Akron Beacon Journal, down through their obituaries. And you know what I kept seeing over and over? Somebody, list the name of somebody would die, and you read down about the second sentence, it would say, died unexpectedly. Died suddenly. Huh? Folks, what do you think that is? Not all of them. Well, what do you suppose that is? Died unexpectedly and died suddenly. Just so when you're sitting around today and you don't have anything to do, you just open up your local obituaries, you begin to read how many died unexpectedly or suddenly. And I'd love to backtrack on that one and see how many of them took the jab. We had a great time in Nashville. Dr. Sherry really lit up the place, as you can probably imagine. Ohio Brett and I were down there. Ohio Brett is in Las Vegas today. We're going to be there for about 3 days doing some Christian revolution down. No, he's not gambling the money away. He's meeting with some potential supporters out there. Bobby Lee and the crew are having a Pennsylvania huddle this weekend, even though Russ Dizdar passed and Tom Dunn's not able to come. They're going to go ahead and have one anyway. Bobby, are you in there? Can give us a little bit of an update. I got some great stuff for you this morning, folks. Stay with me.
Yeah, we got a day training that's going to take place on Saturday from 9 to approximately 6, give or take. We got good things. We got communications. We got herbs. We got food prep. We got Pastor Ben's going to come and speak. And we got Dave Paxton going to speak about citizenship. It's going to be a great day. And if you're within a reasonable distance, I encourage you to get out, because we don't know how many more of these we're going to be having.
Good idea, Bobby. Thank you. Also, Chad's having one this weekend, I think. Isn't Chad, isn't it your Texas Salt and Light Brigade going on down there too? So, folks, stay close to our calendar and schedule.
Yes,
hey, listen, folks, things kind of tighten up a little bit as we get into November and into December, the holidays, the weather. It really kind of pushes us back. We try to do the best we can, and we would encourage you to try to have a local assembly. Sam, you got your hand up. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, as we're rocking on down the bulletin, I just want to leave this – I don't want to leave this loose end untied. This is John 18:36, and I'd like to read the entire verse.
Okay.
Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews.
All right.
But now is my kingdom not from hence." So there's a couple of really loaded statements there.
There are.
Jesus had to go to the cross.
Amen.
And he ordered even the angelic armies, you know, when he was on the cross, the angels were all watching. So he ordered the armies of supernaturally and naturally to stand down so that he could lay his life down. That's
Amen.
One.
Yep.
The second
complete
is,
task. That's right.
He says, "My kingdom is not from hence, from this world. Now, but the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God, and Amen. He shall reign forever and ever." So this is just like Romans 8:1 and all the other favorite scriptures that people like to lisp out half of, and the majority of the Christian world doesn't even know what the actual verse looks like. So I just want to shout it out.
Sam, that's good, folks. That's good. When his kingdom comes, then his servants are going to fight for him. I think, would you agree with that, Sam? When his kingdom comes, his servants are going to... He listen, despite what they say, Jesus was not, I don't want to use the term nonviolent, but we have to understand the situation. He was advancing his kingdom. There was a plan laid out. He had to follow the plans of the kingdom. That's what he had to do. And we misconstrue the time and the place and the circumstances and all that. Listen, I'm not a theologian, all right? I can read and I can think. Imprecatory Psalms. Are you guys keeping up on the imprecatory Psalms? We're going to do a couple of them here. These continue to remain pretty important, but I got to show you something here. I got to show you something. Hey, Spencer, click on Louisville Liars. Louisville. I love this. This really encouraged me. These are the Louisville Clinic Escorts who are following the show. They're listening to the show. Isn't this awesome? These wicked people, these witches, are watching our show. Now, they're not watching the show. See, they better be careful, because if they watch the show, they may become converted at some point. But for the most part, it's a nest of Wiccans and witches and God haters. And all you got to do is spend a little bit of time on their page, and you'll find out how wicked and demented they are. They love abortion. All those who hate me love death. So they hate Christ. So they love death. It's one of the characteristics, right? And again, folks, remember this, that they cannot receive the things of the Spirit. If they're not born again, they cannot receive spiritual truth. They can't. It's not that they won't. They can't. The God of this world has blinded them. So I thank God they tune in here. And I don't want to cast my pearl before swine. All you need to do is go to this website, Louisville Clinic Escorts, and just read down through there, and you'll just see how dark and demented they are. But here, hey, by the way, thanks to all of them for watching. Thank you all for being out there, killing all those babies and being happy with it and using them for child sacrifices and drinking their blood. Who knows what you do with them But anyway, this is the genesis of the Sherry Tenpenny killed Russ Dizdar. This is the genesis of it, right? These are the ones who started this. By the way, I don't know. I'm looking for a lawyer. I believe this is malicious. I believe this is malicious. I believe they have slandered me. They have slandered Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And I wonder how much money they have, because I may become picking in their pocket to get some of that money out of them. Because can I show you something? This is amazing. Go ahead, Joe. Rick, what do you think, Joe? Do I have a chance?
When I first heard that, I thought this is very likely actionable, but it's not my area of expertise. But it's very likely if you can fund it or find a way to fund it, which I think you can, then it would maybe shut them up.
We might own that clinic, huh?
Yeah,
we might own that clinic. Wouldn't that be great?
So I would definitely approach counsel on it, definitely, and get all the evidence you can before save all the stuff you can before they take it offline.
Okay, Joe, listen, they're listening right now. Jared, save all that. Spencer, save all that, okay? Go ahead, Reggie.
We got it saved, Coach. We had it saved when they posted it.
All right, cool. We're gonna own them. We're going to own them. No, wait a minute. We should pray for them and get them saved, shouldn't we? That's what we should do. I'm sorry.
Amen. That is what you should be doing. Amen.
Okay, so let's go, because here's the video. This is their video. Are you guys ready? This is so laughable. This is so laughable. It's 1 minute and 8 seconds. Now listen to this. This is their evidence. Why is that thing spinning?
So I met Tom, I think it was Thursday night maybe, and I took him some vitamins and minerals to try to get up and get into Russ. And Tom came down and got it and drove all the way up to Canton where Russ is, and was able to get in and see Russ and get some medicine. Russ and Shelly, both sick. And got a hold of Sherry, who's another one of Russ's, lives close to Russ, the next day, and got some more medicine for Russ. And Sherry drove all the way down here, about 2.5 hours down to our house. I was already going to Maine. She drove all the way down here to our house to pick up some supplements that I had for Russ that I couldn't get to him because I was on an airplane. And Sherry took him up there, and they gave me the assurance that they had watched Russ take him. And the word today that he passed. And
hey, folks, are you ready? They think it's Sherry Tenpenny. These dummies, they think it's Sherry Tenpenny. One of Russ's closest associates is named Sherry. She's the one that did it. And these idiots who are soon going to owe us about $8.5 million have the wrong Sherry. Oh, man. So I want to get everybody to get out there, because I got a lot of emails. Coach, did this really happen? Did Sherry really? Dr. Tenpenny? Oh, my. What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. So, Reggie, glad you got all that, because they're listening right down there at that Louisville clinic. We got all your stuff. Oh, my. Where else do I want to go? Hey, it's a Monday. I got some good stuff, but it's a Monday. Let me get over here a minute. Anybody got one jump in here? Let's see. Craig wants to. Go ahead, Craig. I got some great stuff today. Hey, friends, look at me. We're winning. We are so winning. I'm telling you. We're so winning. Go ahead, Craig.
Coach, if you look at all the memoriams of Russ's videos that are being played in his honor, the information that is getting out over this time is just, it's like so much of the information that he wanted to get out because of the people are paying respect to him is now getting out. I think they factored that into whatever they were praying against him.
Amen. Whatever the devil meant for bad, that bad, God meant for good. Some great, great, great stuff. How about this? I don't want to talk about great news. I don't know if it's karma. I don't even know if I believe in that term, really, karma, whatever that is. Three dead judges. Remember, four dead in Ohio,
four dead in Ohio. Look at this. Thank you, Reggie, for sending me this. Three Ohio judges die unexpectedly in a 9-day span after a vax mandate in Cuyahoga County. Folks, this is almost eerie. Scroll down through it. We know that vaccines are a leading cause of coincidences, but injections are also related to a lot of karma in 2021. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but this judge, this panel of judges in Cuyahoga County, that's Cleveland, or did not said vaccine mandates were okay. And look what happens. Cuyahoga County Judge Nancy McDonald dies September 28th, suddenly, of course. Suddenly. Now, since she had a double lung transplant and she was getting towards the end of her life anyway, yet she likely chose to receive the experimental mRNA or viral vector DNA injection to keep her job. It's unclear if a doctor actually recommended the injections, knowing her health history. She was a state employee for 30 years, likely had some form of pension, but now she's dead. But again, her death in the vax mandate, that could be just a coincidence, I suppose. And then Joe Russo, Cuyahoga, same county, folks. He dies October 2nd. Russo had been a Cuyahoga County judge in 2001. To mainstream outlets, reported that Russo died unexpectedly. There's that word again, as we've seen throughout 2001. Died unexpectedly and short illness are two common mainstream media terms when vaxxed people die. Hey, friends, do your own research. Go to any major newspaper, go to the obituaries, and you will find died unexpectedly and died after a short illness. They're not telling us what this is, right? Larry Jones in the 8th District Court of Appeals, he died on the 7th day of October. Huh, Larry Jones was a Cleveland area judge for 34. There's part of the problem. He was a judge for 34 years. Can you believe that? Once again, two mainstream media outlets reported that Jones, why he died unexpectedly in Tampa. He was 68 years old. He survived by his wife, two children, and one grandchild. I'm not saying anything here. I don't know what's going on. But are the chickens coming home to roost? Crazy, isn't it? Is that crazy? Died unexpectedly. There's your own research. Go through your local newspaper. Died unexpectedly or died after a short illness. Come on in, Joe.
No, what Joe? What we're finding down here is they announced we found a body. Just this past weekend, we had 10 in this area.
Found bodies, huh? In other words, people who got sick and died unexpectedly or after a short illness. Would that be fair to say, Joe?
Yep.
By the way, this is what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, not the Sherry that was Russ Dizdar's friend, that other Sherry, right? You guys know there's two Sherrys. Sherry, Sherry baby, Sherry. No, not Sherry. But Dr. Sherry Tenpenny told us this is what was going to happen, right? That people were going to die unexpectedly after short illnesses, after having taken the jab. COVID deaths, Spencer, the next one. Then I'm going to kind of open it up here, do it real quickly. COVID deaths. 17,000 plus deaths have been reported after COVID shots. Did you know that, friends? Did you know that? 17,000 people plus, including a new report of a 12-year-old who died after the Pfizer vaccine. How about that other one up there? Florida Governor, Florida Governor DeSantis is offering $5,000. Any police officer anywhere in America who lost his job, DeSantis says, come down here, we'll give you a $5,000 bonus, we'll hire you. That's some good fight back. So the truth of the matter is people are in fact getting sick and they are dying and we still will not have the government tell us the truth. Come on in, Joe, then Alan.
Coach, there was a Harvard study on the VAERS system, and it indicated that I believe it was 1% because of the difficulties and also the reluctance of people to do that, to get it on the system. Only 1% actually show up. So But the one, there was a case filed recently, and I think their whistleblower said it was 10 times. So they have, and they were, would put that then at about 170,000 now. But if you look at the VAERS system and the Harvard study, that would be 1.7 million.
Unbelievable, huh?
Which is a scary number.
Hey, Joe, the just folks, look, check the obituaries. The undertakers have never been busier. They've never been busier. Go ahead, Alan.
Coach, we got the greatest governor in America. 2 days after Rodney Howard Brown got voted in the slammer, he came out and said, church is essential in the state of Florida. God bless Governor DeSantis. His wife's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. Her name's Casey. Be praying for her. But I tell you what, I thank God every day for Governor DeSantis, brother.
Amen. Amen. I saw somebody said the other day, Trump 2024, DeSantis 2028. Oh, okay. Yeah. Click that up there, Spence. The Amish. Throw the Amish up there for us. It's about the third, fourth one down. This has got a little video. Of course, this is from Alex Jones, so you can't believe it. But this is a, Spencer put it at 1.5 speed. Scroll down a little bit. Right there. The Amish ain't getting no COVID, no vaccines, no nothing. Go ahead, play that.
When it comes to actions taken to address the COVID-19 threat, hindsight is still very much underway. For your consideration, a story and outcome you probably aren't hearing much about anywhere else. It takes place in the heart of Amish country. Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Thousands of families lead lives largely separate from modern America. The Amish are a Christian group that emphasizes the virtuous over the superficial. They don't usually drive, use electricity, or have TVs. And during the COVID-19 outbreak, they became subjects in a massive social and medical experiment.
So it's safe to say there was a whole different approach here in this community when coronavirus broke out. Absolutely. Than many other places.
Absolutely.
Calvin Lapp is Amish Mennonite.
There's three things the Amish don't like, and that's government. They won't get involved in government. They don't like the public education system. They won't send their children to education. And they also don't like the health system. They rip us off. Those are three things.
That I'm an Amishman. Like I'm an Amishman.
Well, those three things are all part of what COVID is.
After a short shutdown last year, the Amish chose a unique path that led to COVID-19 tearing through at warp speed. It began with an important religious holiday in May.
When they take communion, they dump their wine into a cup, and they take turns to drink out of that cup. So you go the whole way down the line, and everybody drinks out of that cup. So if one person has coronavirus, the rest of the church is going to get coronavirus. First time they went back to church, everybody got coronavirus.
Lapp says they weren't denying coronavirus. They were facing it head on.
It's a worse thing to quit working than dying. But to shut down and say that we can't go to church, we can't get together with family, we can't see our old people in the hospital, we got to quit working. You're working. It's going completely against everything that we believe. And you're changing our culture completely to try to act like they wanted us to act last year. And we're not going to do it.
Steve Nolt is a scholar on Amish and Mennonite culture and Mennonite himself. He's studying Amish news publications to analyze community-wide trends.
So are you saying as of about May of 2020, things kind of went back to normal in the Amish community?
Yeah, it's kind of by the middle of May, it's sort of like back to a typical behavior again.
That also meant avoiding hospitals.
I know of some cases in which Amish people like refused to go to the hospital, even when they were very sick, because if they went there, they wouldn't be able to have visitors. And it was more important to be sick, even very sick, at home and have the ability to have some people around you than to go to the hospital and be isolated.
Then last March, remarkable news. The Lancaster County Amish were reported to be the first community to achieve herd immunity, meaning a large part of the population had been infected with COVID-19 and become immune. Some outsiders are skeptical, and solid proof is hard to come by.
Even those who believed that they had COVID tended not to get tested. Their approach tended to be, I'm sick, I know I'm sick, I don't have to have someone else tell me I'm sick. Or a concern that if they got a positive test, they would then be asked to really dramatically limit what they were doing in a way that might be uncomfortable for them. So we don't have that testing number.
We didn't want the numbers to go up because then they would shut things more. What's the advantage of getting a test?
One thing's clear, there's no evidence of any more deaths among the Amish than in places that shut down tight. Some claim there were fewer here. That's without masking, staying at home, or another important measure.
Did most of the community, at least the adults, get the COVID-19 vaccine?
Again, we don't have data on that, but I think it's pretty clear that that in percentage terms, relatively few did.
Well, we're glad all the English people got their COVID vaccines. That's great, because now we don't have to wear masks. We can do what we want. So good for you. Thank you. We appreciate it. No, we're not getting vaccines. Of course not. We all got the COVID. So why would you get a vaccine?
By staying open, the Amish here have one tangible 2020 accomplishment few others can claim.
We have this joke, when everybody else started walking, we started running. We made more money in the last year than we ever did. It was our best year ever.
Did the Amish really find a magic formula? They say yes, and they don't care who doubts it.
Yeah, all the Amish know we got herd immunity. Of course we got herd immunity. When the whole church gets coronavirus, we know we got coronavirus. Yes, we think we're smarter than everybody. I mean, just keep tagging, but we think we did the right thing.
Knowles, the scholars... Well,
watch out, well,
I love it.
They hate that kind of stuff, don't they? They hate that kind of stuff. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you know, it's just simple. It's called natural law. You know, the science, they want to, the hypocritical system, Coach, is getting ready to be shook out, and the whole world's going to get to see it because natural law works. You know, herd immunity works. Coach, I want to say this. The Cliff High model of his data, his linguistics, and he's the best in the world at this, in 1997, it said 1.2 billion people would die in an event. He didn't know how to interpret it at that time. Now, he's not hoping he's right. No one's hoping he's right. But Coach, we're going to see about 30 times the amount of dead people in the obituaries in the paper. It's coming. We're just now seeing the beginnings of it. It's coming.
Try your cough button.
Hello.
All right. I don't know about all this. I think maybe I have a theory that the Amish just had more horse medicine around than anybody else in any other community, because you just do a quick cipher of the horse population in the Amish community. It's way above. So, you know, could be a number of things. Just saying.
We got herd immunity here too, Sam. It does work. If you don't take the medicine, you just get the illness, you will get herd immunity. We got it in South Africa too. That's why people don't want to take the vaccine.
In the 60s and 70s, we used to have a thing called chicken pox parties and measles parties. So all the kids got chicken pox and measles.
I'm back. So Joseph, if I get this right, Sam was admitting that ivermectin must work. Horse paste must work, huh?
Yeah, they sleep standing up.
I don't think the Amish took the horse medicine, guys. Those people are very, I know they do bad things too. That's not what I'm saying, but they're very strict on their stuff.
Don't you believe that for a second. Michelle, we live among the Amish here. Go ahead, Luann.
I would just say we should look into that.
We should look into that.
Yes.
Real quickly, folks, listen. I posted some awesome videos that you ought to try to catch it. Coach Dave, I often forget to say them. Suppression of early COVID treatment. Pull that up there, Spence. I'm sorry, the videos. I'm sorry, just popped into my head. There are a couple up there, three of them up there that would really, really be informative for you to watch. Or I wouldn't put them there, right? Spencer, that would just be at Coach Dave Live. Just go to Coach Dave Live videos. Because I want folks to, you know, if you guys like me, you do chores around the house, you put your headphones in and you listen. There's three of them. And the second one down there at the bottom, this lady's daughter took an experimental jab, if you can believe it. She tells exactly what happened. And then the suppression of early COVID treatment, the third one in there is, folks, you got to watch these things. Got to watch them, okay? So I just want to make you aware of that. Dale, come on in.
Brother, we got a few good things happening down in Louisiana. Unfortunate, one of them is a school that's right around my corner. The Ochsner Hospital jab unit pulls up there and gets these minors to sign off. And they give them the jab. The parents find out, brother, they are filing a major lawsuit against the school system and Ochsner Hospital, which is the biggest healthcare center in the whole Southeast United States. Our attorney general has come down and ordered all pharmacies to fill all ivermectins that are prescribed by doctors. And if the pharmacists refuse, which we've already got one. One of the ladies in our church went and did it, videotaped the whole thing to report them back to the attorney general.
That's
and
right.
He is going to come down with a hammer of the law.
There you go, folks. If a pharmacist refuses to fill a prescription for you, it's a violation of the law. He's not a doctor. He has to, by law, either fill it for you or refer you to a physician who will. So if that's happened to you, you've got yourself a fine little lawsuit there as well. Hey, I got to throw this out there real quickly, but I'll get Brett in here in just a second. I had a great, not name dropping. Okay. I had a great conversation with Steve Quayle on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember what it was. Went through the whole thing that happened to him. And he just wanted to make sure that I want all of you out there to know that when he went into the hospital, he knew he was not coming out. He knew he was going to die when he went in. And he credits the prayers of the saints to lifting him out of that hospital. He can't even explain it. Now, he believes something was thrown on him. Use whatever term you want to. That it was some type of bioweapon that attacked him. And just it happened very, very quickly. All of a sudden, he couldn't breathe. And he went into the hospital, and he knew that he was not going to come out. And it was a miracle of God that brought him out. So a tip of the cap to all of you who prayed for Steve Quayle. He's alive today. Brett, come on in, then Luann.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I just want to tell you, our two daughters are both full-time active Air Force.
Mm.
So they put in their religious exemptions. That's waiting to be approved. It's going to be months before that happens. But they're trying to help other people in the unit that don't feel comfortable putting in the religious exemption. So one daughter called to the JAG, which is the lawyer side of the Air Force and the military,
right?
And asked if the Pfizer that I forget what the starts with the C, if the Pfizer shot that is approved is not available, do they have to take it? And the JAG said no. So then my other daughter, they tag teamed this thing, called down to the hospital side, asked if that was available, and they said no. So the JAG also said that if it's not available at the unit, then you have to call outside to three or four or five doctor offices and see if it's available. Well, the other one did that, and of course, you know, it's not available.
Not available.
So once again, it is a unlawful order to be giving the military the jabs if it is not approved by the FDA. So hopefully somebody out there hears this and uses that information.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you, man. We'll get those Christian Revolution attorneys after them. Come on in, Luann, then Randy.
Yeah, I remember something happened before COVID, and that was I wound up in a hospital with a congenitive heart failure. But anyway, in the middle of the night, I caught the nurses coming in trying to give me something. And I told her I didn't want it if I didn't know what it was. Okay, so they kept coming in there trying to sneak medicine to me. I literally had to get out of my hospital bed and leave the hospital sick for them to stop it. Just well, to let y'all know that.
I'm working on, thanks to our good friend Clay Parker, I'm working on an interview of a pastor down in Louisville whose daughter, imagine this, friends. His wife is pregnant and has COVID.
Oh,
and so they take her into the hospital, and so she's got COVID, right? I'm going to get the video. I'm going to get him on. And it's a miracle story. By the way, the baby was born fine. It was the fifth baby, I think. What baby was born fine, mother? But he had to fight like you cannot believe to save the life of his wife as she was giving birth early to their child, and then trying to get the child out of the hospital afterwards. Friends, listen, I'm talking to me. We need a power of attorney. You need a medical power of attorney.
Amen.
Your spouse or somebody in your family. Because if you, Steve Quayle told me this, that he put on his own wrist before he went in a do not resuscitate band. Put it on his own wrist when he went in, because he wasn't going to let them put him on that ventilator come hell or high water. And luckily his wife got in and was a very good advocate for him. And by a miracle, he came out of that thing alive. So all of you out there, listen, and stories and stories and stories and stories of people who go into the hospital and then not allowed to go and visit them. Relatives can't go in and visit them. Remember, go back to the Ricky Miller, Jeff Klein story, right? Because Ricky Miller had the advocate of Jeff Klein and Ricky's wife, they didn't kill or allow Ricky to die, right? This is serious stuff. We all need to do that. Okay, come on in, Randy. By the way, I said it before, I'll say it again. I go down to Nashville, Tennessee, and I walk into the event with Sherry Tenpenny on Saturday, and there's Betty Perkins and Rube and their dog. Came all the way down there, Betty. I just want you to know how much I appreciate your fidelity and your loyalty to what it is we're doing. It's unbelievable. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, Tulsa is a hub for American Airlines, and there's a lot of workforce here, a lot of them. Biggest employer, I think, in Tulsa is American Airlines. I know a lot of these guys, and, you know, for the last year, they've all been worried about their job, and I'm just what little you all have coached me up with truth and all this. I give them the information. Well, now, Coach, the airlines is they're backing up. Now they're going to offer a medical and a religious exemption.
We're winning, Randy.
Does not want to take the jab.
We're winning, Randy.
Coach, we don't think we're significant, but we are. Everywhere we go, we can speak. If we'll speak, we're giving them the truth, Coach. That little by little, one on one. That's how it's always been. I mean, yeah, you have a big platform here, Coach. I have a little one, but I'm effective if I will speak.
Amen. Amen.
And I see the fruit of it, Coach, because I see a lot of these guys and they go, man, you told us, Randy, you told us way back there, if we'll just stand up and stand to the end, they're going to back up. And I knew they would, but they listen, Coach. We are making a difference if we'll speak.
Amen. We are, baby. Hey, look at this. Pull up right above the imprecatory Psalms there, Spencer. Pull that one up there. Hey, folks, this is 1 minute. In 19 seconds, this is the picture of an FBI or federal agent embedded in the crowd, encouraging people on January 6th to go into the building. This is a minute, 16 seconds. Watch this. Go ahead. Start again, Spencer. There's no sound, bud.
I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested. We need to go, I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol.
Let's go!
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail for it. Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol. Peacefully. Fed. Peacefully.
Look at me telling this guy to push the fence over. Unbelievable, huh, friends? Unbelievable. What a setup. Hey, what do you guys think of this? Oh, should I say this? Should I say it? Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Let's go back to DC. Huh?
Agreed.
Let's make January 6th celebrate Liberty Day. Let's go back. Anybody with me? I'm thinking about organizing a let's go back to let's make January 6th our day, celebrate Liberty Day. Let's get no guns, none of that. Let's go back again. Anybody with me?
I'm in.
Because they don't want us back there, do they? They don't want us back there. Come on in, Clay.
I just wanted to mention that the morning of January 6th, when we got off the metro, when we first got to walking down the street, I don't know if y'all remember that guy that was pulling a cart down the middle of the street. We were on the sidewalk, and that guy was trying to get everybody to come off the sidewalk and walk down the middle of the street.
Yep,
he, This is our street. Y'all, why y'all walking on the sidewalk? Get over here.
Yep.
He was one of them guys. That's what I believe. He was one of them guys, and he was trying to get us in trouble.
They were everywhere, Clay. Weren't they? They were everywhere. Hey, two more things. I'm going to read some imprecatory psalms. COVID critical care. I got another great website for you. Get out a pencil and a paper. And this website is Frank Lucy CCC, FLCCC.net, FLCCC.net. Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance Prevention and Treatment Protocols for COVID-19. This website is full of everything. What is it again? FLCCC.net. FLCCC.net. Get this, share it with your friends. There's testimonies on there. There's things how to take care of yourself if you get it. Share this with other people. Folks, this kind of information makes a difference. It makes a difference when you get it into the hands of those people who don't believe you. This makes a difference. FLCCC.net. I know y'all didn't write it down. Go ahead and put it in the chat, Spencer. FLCCC.net. Come on in, Glenn, then Paul.
Yeah, that's a great website. If you go on there, you'll see a discussion with Dr. Pierre Corey. He's the guy that's been tracking the results with ivermectin in many of the third world countries that don't have the vaccine, and then cataloging the results. And it's tremendous.
It is tremendous. It works. I have a whole study on ivermectin I was going to share, but I'm just not going to do it here this morning. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, Coach. Couple things. Last couple of weeks, I put in my religious exemption for the jab juice. So I'm waiting to hear back. If for some reason they reject it, I want to take some other action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe call you and let you know what's going on.
Call us and let us know what's going on.
I will most definitely will.
Okay, we got
I'm
about.
Gonna fight. I'm going to fight this.
Amen. We have to. Ohio Brett's not in there. He's kind of on top of what's going on with our legal. We got about eight lawsuits we're ready to file, and we're kind of on hold right now.
Coach, Paul works for AT&T, right, Paul?
Yeah, that's correct.
See, we just need one of these guys to blink. We just get one of them to blink. That's all we got to do. So,
hey, Coach, let me tell you exactly how they're doing this. See, I'm part of the Communication Workers of America. I'm a unionized.
Mm-hmm.
They negotiated a deal to keep us at home for another year. But then about a month later, they gave us they negotiated this mandate. And this is how they're doing it. I have until February 1st. If I don't get the jab by then they'll put me on a 60-day without pay suspension, put me in a corner. Make me write, you know, I will take the jab 500 times.
I will be a good student, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And they sit up there and say, well, we negotiated a great deal, and we really believe that everybody should have the right to the private decision about this, but we just, you know, BS.
Yeah, the union has sold people out all across America. Hey, I want to get the imprecatory psalms in here real quick. Today we're going to read 58 and 59. Anybody out there said, Coach, I had Psalm 58. I'll be glad to read Psalm 58 here this morning. Anyone? Somebody had Psalm 58.
I'll read it, Coach.
All right, Reggie, go for it. Psalm 58.
I had 58. Oh, go ahead, Gail.
Gail had 58. Then go ahead, Gail. Thank you, dear.
Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born.
Stay right there. Is that unbelievable, friends? Is that hey, this is the word of God, right? The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they born, speaking lies. Go ahead, Gwen. Gail, I'm sorry.
Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken up, will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God.
Oh, yeah, Lord.
Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces.
Yes, Lord. Get him, Lord.
Amen.
As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman after that they may not see the sun.
Wow, 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 wow.
Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath.
Amen.
The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance.
Yes.
He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked.
Woo! Yes, Lord.
So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
I love justice. Anybody else love justice out there? The Lord Amen. Loves it.
Yes.
He loves it. Why don't we? That was Psalm 59, wasn't it? 58. So 50. Who has 59 they can read for us?
I have 59.
By the way, come on in, Kathy. We are praying Psalm 59. We're not reading Psalm 59. This is a prayer. Go ahead.
Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me.
Amen.
Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men.
Yes, Lord.
For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgressions, nor for my sins, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold,
yes.
Thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathens. Be not merciful to any
yes,
wicked
transgressors. Get those heathens.
Sheila. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their words. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathens in derision.
Yes.
Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense.
Amen.
The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desires upon my enemies.
Slay them not.
Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. The things of their mouths, the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for cursing and lying which they speak.
Amen.
Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob until the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Sheilah. And at evening, Amen. Let them return. And let them go make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power.
Yes.
Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my soul, will I sing, for my God is my defense and the God of my mercy.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Now listen, listen. Teaching moment. Teaching moment. I don't want to miss it. Hey, Spencer, go back up at the top and bring up the NIV and see if it talks manly like this. See if it, let's see if it talks New English. Yeah, NIV. Let's see if it talks manly like this. Let's see. Deliver me, O Lord, for God, by my force of attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers. Save me from the laughter of my blood. Fierce men conspire against me. No, I have no wrong. Attack me. Rise. I want to see if it says break their teeth. I want to see if it does that. It says what? Right. Look on my plight. Where does it say break my teeth? Where is it? Break my teeth. I want to see that one. Does anybody see break my teeth?
No. Should be verse 6.
Verse 6? Go to verse 6. Does it tell us to break their teeth? No.
Yeah, that's in 58. 58.
Does it tell us to in 58?
58, verse 6.
Oh, that was verse 50. I gotcha. 58 in the NIV, verse 6. Well, it does. There it does. I'm wrong. Tear out the fangs of those lions. Well, Coach, just blew that theory. Blew that one right there. Come on in real quickly. We're off.
Yeah, Coach, just as we were praying, though, as remember, I don't know if I sent this out. I put it in the chat. There's Michael Jaco reporting at the border. We have American boots on the ground responding to incursions by narco cartels in border counties in Texas. I'll put a link in the chat as soon as it opens up. We're praying over these troops that are responding. It's a Minutemen. This is the Second Amendment action that's going down from what the reports are right
morning
now.
Morning is coming. Morning is morning coming. It's going to be morning at the again. It's always darkest just before the dawn.
Yeah.
God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.